Okay, so let's learn a piece from the Matnas Chaim from Reb Matasiro Solomon. I think it's a very relevant piece that we're going to see together this evening. And it's sort of very ripped from the headlines of the current events that are taking place around us in America. We're not used to seeing such anti-Semitism in America. Eretz Yisrael always has, issues with the Arabs, and in Europe there was always bans against Shechita or potential bans, and it was here and there. It wasn't such a. We thought America was like a much safer place to live. It wasn't. There was really no major problems that come to mind. I'm sure there were issues here and there. There was incidents here and there, but. For by and large, we were pretty much unscathed for the most part. And all of a sudden, since October 7th, we find that there's not just stam anti-Semitism, but quite pervasive anti-Semitism. It didn't take that much to incite the entire, what seems to be, in every college campus, kemat, even the Ivy League schools that everyone thought were so chashev and so intellectual and so pure, it turns out that people just had to, with a little excuse, a little hesiris, they were able to spout the most vicious anti-Semitic phrases and songs and whatnot. And it's quite alarming. I think we're in denial a little bit, like the fact that we're just going about our regular business as if everything is okay, but it's not okay. There is protests in Queens College a couple of blocks away, and in Columbia, and NYU, and all across the country, in every state. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is telling us something. I'm not claiming to speak for the Rebbeinu Shalom or to know Das Elyon, but it's clearly a message to us. And one of the many messages is that this is galus and we're not safe anywhere. Person thinks that there's a safe haven, there's a place you can hide and be safe in this galus. It's not true. In Germany, people thought they were safe. Also, I have there's a person that comes to my shir on Wednesday nights. He's 95 years old about. And he remembers quite well Germany before the war. It's an amazing thing. He's, we just had Yom HaShoah the other day, and he literally remembers Kristallnacht. He was a boy. He remembers the shul in Germany being burnt down and the neighbors pointing that out to him. And, he always says this. He's always said it before October 7th. He's always told me, and it's scary, and I don't like really repeating it, but for the purpose of tonight, sure, might as well. That if you think that America is very different from Germany in the 1930s or 1920s, you're wrong. He says, people, we enjoyed in Germany great liberties. We were doctors and lawyers and bankers, and we were going to the operas and the and the plays and whatever else Germany had to offer. There were members of parliament, members of the Senate, whatever it was, that were Jewish, and it was a wonderful country to live in. Jews were really thriving there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like you have this fascist Yimach Shemai that rises to power very quickly, and before people even had a chance to process it, to digest it, the war had started and they were trapped. And that you wonder, like, why didn't Jews get out of Germany like when they could, or out of any of these countries? The answer is that you don't really, it's like saying, why don't you get out? If you saw the stock market was crashing, why didn't you get out? Because by the time it starts crashing, it's too late. You can't get out so easily. And America is it's a malchus shel chesed, but it's a fragile, democracy. It's not, all democracies are fragile. And America, we think that we have some sort of messiah, that there's going to be, that America is going to last 1,000 years. They thought the same thing about Rome and Greece and Spain and these, bigger empires have have come and gone, and America could very easily also slide into a state of that we don't recognize, and it seems to be doing that. So I found this just two short paragraphs from Matisseo Solomon. Just, you know, he was from England. He came over to America to become the Mashgiach of Lakewood Yeshiva. And, you know, so America to him was something that was maybe more of a novelty. Like for us, we grew up in America, so we think it's like, you know, part of the Shulchan Aruch is that America is, you know, always going to be free. It's always going to be in the, you know, you're going to have liberty and you're going to have justice and everything is going to be always, you know, Ala Tzara Yeser Taiv. But if you're coming from England and you're able to look at America from a different perspective, it's an interesting thing. Like maybe the rest of the world doesn't have that confidence that we have in the longevity of our democracy, of our republic. So look what he writes. Af pay b'artzei sabris. Even here in America, nimtzam anu keves echad ben ayin zevim. There's an expression that Klal Yisrael is like a little sheep, one sheep among 70 nations that are wolves, amongst 70 wolves, meaning all the nations are trying to devour us and destroy us. And let's say they would try to start up with us, to hurt us. Would there be anyone that stops them? What exactly are we relying on? I always think about this. Like right now, the protests are maybe in the streets of Manhattan and they're in university campuses. What would stop? Just if you stop and think about it, and I'll tiftach pelosatim, but if you stop, what would stop these same chevra from like invading Lawrence and Kew Gardens Hills and Lakewood and cities in Detroit, the front parts of the, why wouldn't they? Like, what's stopping? There's some, are we like, is there like a bubble that I don't know about, like an invisible bubble? Like, why wouldn't they theoretically start coming into people's homes and becoming violent? For some reason, Bli Ayin Hara, that hasn't happened as of today. But who's to say that it's not going to happen? Who's to say that, you know, is Biden going to stop them if that would happen? Is Trump going to stop them? Like, who's going to... We don't know. Like, we don't, you know, how do you know that the police are such Ayavei Yisrael? Maybe they're also anti-Semitic and they're itching for something to happen. Im nichya beregesh zeh, if we live with this feeling, shirak alav yisparach yichal motayach, if we get a hashkafa that I don't trust America, I don't trust, you know, the Constitution, or it's just a piece of paper. What do I trust in? I trust in the Rabbeinu Shalom. I trust in the Rabbeinu Shalom. The only thing that I have bitachon in is the Rabbeinu Shalom. If that would be our hashkafa, oz nuchal be'emes of Tayach Halav, then we could really believe in him. Avol tzrichem lachis gam kein bregeshim le'ach shavei masai. De'b'loi zeh halei kol chayenu hu b'seich hevel v'rik ve'eich niftach alav. So he's saying that in when we want to change, when we want to have a new way of looking at things, it has to be now. There's nothing to wait for. We're thinking like, okay, when is going to be the perfect time to start having that full bitachon in the Rabbeinu Shalom? Rabbi Lapian, we learned about a piece from him that there's a very, I think it's a good sushtal to this. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I believe, that says that there's two people that are on a al gardam echad, like they're the nooses around their heads, around their necks, and they're both about to be hanged. And sometimes it happens that one guy all of a sudden gets a call and he gets pardoned, and the other guy gets hanged. Why did that happen? Why did one survive and one die? Or you have two people in the same hospital room, and they both have the same machla, and one of them is able to get up and go back to his normal life, and the other one dies. Why did that happen? So the Gemara says, Zeh hispalel, v'zeh lo hispalel. One davened and one didn't daven. And Rashi says, Zeh hispalel, he says, b'kavana. He had kavana when he's davening. So Rabbi Lapian says, what do you mean? Yeah, the other guy didn't have kavanah? They're both dying. They're on their deathbeds. one had kavan and one didn't. If there's a time to have kavan, it's l'chayr when you're on your deathbed. When you have a noose around your neck and they're about to kick away the chair underneath you, that's probably a good time to have kavana by davening. What does it mean that one davened with kavana and one did? Probably they both davened with kavana. So he says a beautiful yisait. He says that, what does it mean to daven with kavana? To daven with kavana doesn't mean that you're shuckling really hard and you're saying the words. See, what happens is that there are people that make Hashem the plan A of their life. And everything that I'm doing is because I have pure bitachon, the Rabbanu Shalom. The Rabbanu Shalom, who's going to make you better? The Rabbanu Shalom is going to make you better. I'm going to the hospital. I'm doing my ishtadlus. I have to do what I need to do. But the real savior is going to be the Rabbanu Shalom. The real roifei chaylem is the Rabbanu Shalom. There's another attitude that some other people have, and maybe it's more common, that they're going really to the finest hospitals, they're getting the best doctors, or they're getting their best lawyers to defend them. And the main confidence, if you'd see a pie chart in their brain, most of their bitachon is in their lawyers or in their hospitals or in their doctors, their medications. And as a, you know, as a plan Z, so then I'll believe in the Rabbanu. I'll also daven a little bit, but the main thrust of my plan of how I'm going to get out of this mess is teva. I'm going to rely on doctors, lawyers, my connections. Rabbi Lapian says that the person that davens with kavano, he's going to survive. You know what that means? That I'm not thinking about my doctor when I'm davening. When I'm davening, I'm not thinking about, well, I have some pull. I'm waiting for that person that I know to call the governor to get me a reprieve. I'm not thinking about any of that. What I'm thinking about is what? The Rabbanu Shalom is my plan A, he's my plan C, my X, everything, and everything in between. The Rabbanu Shalom is the Kol Yachol. I'm davening to him that he's going to save me. Do I do Hishtadlus? I have to do Hishtadlus, but that's not at all the main. That's like mamish, the sediment on the bottom of my tefillos is maybe my Hishtadlus. But the main thrust of what I'm doing is believing in the Rabbanu Shalom. And what Rav Matisyahu Solomon, I think, is saying, and he was a Talmud Rav Elia, is that when we have these other concepts about the safety and security that we find ourselves in or that we think we find ourselves in, and we rely on some very old concepts that are, I think, have to be reconsidered and reevaluated because it doesn't seem to be holding up very well. Why do we feel secure? What makes us feel secure that we're in this country? Or any country in Galus? Do we feel secure because, you know, we're Americans, we have an American passport, and we feel good, you know, that, you know, we go to baseball games, we go to basketball games, and we're, you know, we know about American history, and we feel like, you know, we have this president running, hopefully he's going to win, and senators, and is that what you're being Simon Khan? Are you assuming that America is like is going to be the land that it was for our grandparents and great grandparents when they were fleeing from different oppressors? We might have to rethink that because we see that things are changing very radically. And when we have bitachon in the country and in the republic and in the constitution and in the army and the navy and the police force, that's not going to be able to do it. We're not going to have security at all that way. It's not going to work. The way to have security, says Rav Matisyahu Solomon, is to believe we can only rely. The tefillah b'kavan is, I know, Rabbi Hashem, that I am fragile. I am in a very exposed situation right now. The whole world seems to be on fire, and I don't have anything protecting me from the elements. They're, you know, as thick as my door is, that's the mechitza that's separating me from all of the rishaim out there. I'm trusting in you, Rabbi Hashem. You will save me. You will get us out of this. You will see us through this. Nothing else. I'm not going to rely on anything else. I don't believe anymore in the fact that this is going to save me and that's going to save me. No, I believe that the only thing that could save me at this point is the Rabbanu Shalom. Look what he writes. Medinais rabbis b'roipa hayam maleis alofim v'rivais Yehudim. You go to many countries in Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, they had hundreds of thousands. millions of people, of Jews that were living in these countries. Anashim gedayim v'chashim, very prominent people, chashuva people, tzaddik ha'olam, great tzaddikim. You go back to Europe today, what do you see? You go on these tours, these tours of the Jewish countries, the Jewish shtetlach of Europe. Uke'es ling nishar sham afilu Yehudi echad ben tayr v'yira kibavar. Are there any Jews that are remaining in these cities? You go to, besides for Chabad here and there, are there any Jews that are remaining in the city? Are there any Bnei Taira today in the cities of Volozhin, in Vilna, in Brisk, in Grodno? Who's living there? Nobody. The whole place. It used to be places that tens of thousands of Yidden, hundreds of thousands of Yidden, Warsaw. Are there people living there anymore? Maybe in Warsaw a little bit more, but these shtetlach throughout Europe and Eastern Europe and Western Europe, there's no one there anymore. Now it's just a tourist attraction. Jews go there to see like the old burned out Bate Medrash that, you know, that used to be. Is it unthinkable that someday they'll be giving tours of Borough Park and Williamsburg and in Lakewood and saying there this is where this shtiebel was and this is Babov, this was Vishnus, this was is that impossible to imagine?
Someone who's on a very high level should when they're in this moment of great danger, they should say, okay, I have 100% like emuna, I'm just gonna get Hashem in you that you're gonna save me, like talking to Hashem. But isn't it also a possibility? It's also like among the options that Hashem wants them to die. No? That like that's just like what's the best thing to happen. You know, like that's just like
wants who to die.
No, I'm saying this person, whoever it is, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's possible, I'm saying, that this, right. This person's time to die.
Right.
So, isn't it like a mistake to have, like, isn't it like not accurate, I'm saying, to have just like complete emunah that Hashem are going to save me when maybe that's like not.
It might not be in the cards. I might die anyway, but when I'm davening, I have to have bitachon in the Rabbeinu Shlom that he is the only being in the universe that could save me. Yeah, I could die.
Not 100% going to.
It's not a guarantee. There are people that get killed and die all the time. But when you're davening, if the Rebbeinu Shlom has other plans for you, he has other plans. But if there's a chance that you can make it out of difficult situations, it can only be if you can't. There can be other ways also. But the main way that we would be able to, with our avodah, get out of it is if we're totally focused on the Rebbeinu Shlom being the sole savior that we have.
Like the sole ability, just affirming his ability.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct. He says, "Hoymi efshar lahalis al adas shebeoid chamishim shana yaveu levakim b'dinazur." Who says there's not going to be, you know, tour guides visiting America? The Yaima Shayapai Rivavai Salfa Yisrael, that this is Williamsburg, we used to have, 100,000 Jews, and we had in Flatbush 50,000. Why can't that be? We don't want it to be, it's a nightmare. But is it, you think in Europe in the 1920s, they were thinking that someday, you know, it would be a big cottage industry to send Jews to have tourists come and look at the great cities of Europe? You know what, we're in those cities? Now it's just empty cities with a couple of Goyim living there, like that took over the Jews' houses. But if you would be able to go back in time, you'd see tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Yidden with their lulav and eser ganyantiv, and with their walking to shul on Shabbos with their children, and that was what today it's all gone. Today it's all gone. We're for some reason convinced that America is different. That America, we're here to stay. Mechatesi, it's galus. We have no guarantees. We have no guarantees. America is no different than Germany, no different than Austria, no different than Spain. It's just a country. It doesn't, you know, we've had a wonderful time here, but the party might be over. We don't know. Hopefully it's not over. Hopefully the party continues, but we don't know. There's no guarantee. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that this is going to be, it's going to stay this way forever. There was a golden age of Spain, and that came to a close. There was a golden age in Western Europe and Eastern Europe, and all those countries had, we had a good, Poland, there were hundreds of years that we had extremely wonderful freedoms that were given to us. We had Avad Arba Artsus, like a certain, we had like autonomy over a lot of the things that were going on in the Jewish communities in Poland. We lived wonderful lives. We've been living a wonderful life here in America. But sometimes, you know, it happens that the that gullus kicks us into the water, and we have to swim to another location until Mashiach comes.
I feel like in Eretz Yisrael, we were persecuted. We were at war with people. It wasn't always peaceful.
Yeah, we're in gullus in Eretz Yisrael also. People think I hear a lot of people saying, and I don't know if this is what hashkaf is, if that's true or not, but like people say, I have to leave America. The only place I think is safe is Eretz Yisrael. Now, I'd very much like to believe that, and the Rebbein Shalom is definitely watching Eretz Yisrael, but there's no guarantee of that either. You know, we look at October 7th, Eretz Yisrael was not such a safe place. And during the wars of, without the Rebbein Shalom's great Nisim Galuyim in the 67 war and the Yom Kippur war, we came very close to not being around anymore. There's no guarantees. This is the nature of Gullus, and it's something that we don't like thinking about because we like thinking that we're on terra firma, we're on very firm ground. But unfortunately, the reality is sometimes different, and we hope and we pray that it's not that, you know, that we'll be here and we'll continue this existence in America. But there are zero guarantees. There's one thing that's certain in life, and that's the Rebbein Hashem. The Rebbein Hashem is here. The Rebbein Hashem listens to our tefillos. If there's a way of being saved, it's by focusing on the Rebbein Hashem, relying on the Rebbein Hashem, speaking to the Rebbein Hashem, and that's the only way to navigate this galus. And any other thing, you know, finding a place and thinking that you're safe, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. If the Rebbein Hashem doesn't want us to be safe, it's not going to work. That we can only rely on the Rebbein Shalom. How do we do that? In order to rely on him, we have to first find favor in his eyes. This is a sefer about Rosh Hashanah. So he goes back and speaks about Rosh Hashanah. I don't really want to go into that. That's not really the point here this evening. But this is something that I found today in the Matnas Chaim, and I think that it's a very, very important insight on many levels, because you know the only reason why if maybe some of you are thinking this also, we have a Kabbalah from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, I think, heard it from the Vilna Gaon, that in this galus, there's going to be 10 stations, 10 stancias, as he called it, like 10 different stops along the way of this galus. From the time that we were, from the Churban Bayis Sheni until Mashiach, there's going to be 10 stations. And I guess, you know, you could probably map those out based on where we were. Maybe Spain is one of them, and then Poland, and, different parts of the world. But the last, the 10th stancia is America. In fact, when Rav Aaron Kotler came to these shores from Europe, he gave a speech, and in his speech he mentioned this Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Some people say that that's the reason why he chose to come to America. He had a choice. He could have gone to Eretz Yisrael, where his father-in-law lived with Zal Meltzer, who had a yeshiva for him. He would have done quite well in Eretz Yisrael, probably. And he could have come to America. Why did he go to America? America was a midbar. And he speaks about this. He says that I have a Kabbalah from Chaim Volozhiner, Ish Mi Piyish, that America is going to be the final, the last stop before Mashiach comes. The main galus is going to be in America. The main, you know, the Rav Minyan and Binyan of Klal Yisrael is going to be in America. And so he came to develop this land. At the time, it was very shvach here, but it was a one man person, one man. Movement that change the face of America. Look what's going on in Lakewood and in the Kailalim and all these yeshivas in America, all because of Rav Aaron Kotler. That's the only reason, if there is some sort of, you know, of reason to have a little bit more hope that we're going to be okay here in America and that things will blow over, you know, until Mashiach comes, or maybe Mashiach will come immediately, Mitzvah Hashem, but is that this is the last stop on the train. This is the last stop. America is the last stop on the train. So, you know, I don't know what's going to be. Nobody knows what's going to be. We don't, maybe, you know, summer's going to come and all these college kids are going to go home. They're going to forget about this and we're all going to go back to, you know, the war will end in Mitzvah Hashem soon in Eretz Yisrael, and we're all going to go back to, you know, the good times will roll again. That's very possible. That would be nice. It could go the other way also, Rachman al-Atzlan. We don't know. But one thing we do know is that we don't know anything. If anyone says, well, this is America, no one speaks like, I don't hear anyone speaking like that anymore. Maybe, you know, a year ago, it's America, we're citizens, we have rights, we're powerful. I don't hear anyone saying, we're not so powerful anymore. The Arabs seem to be much more powerful. They seem to be much more, even though I think there are more Jews in this country than Arab, it seems to be that, you know, the Arab sympathizers are vastly outnumbering the Jewish sympathizers, and that's a scary thing because that'll affect, you know, politics, it'll affect elections, it'll affect a lot of different things could be very different if the politicians sense that there aren't that many votes to be had by being pro-Israel and there's more votes to be had by being pro-Palestinian. But the takeaway from this tonight is, first of all, not to be so confident in the country that we live in. You know, we've had a free pass. I have friends that lived in Belgium. They're from Belgium, now they live here, but they grew up in Belgium. And I used to go to Chasnas and I stay by their houses, and they all have safes in their house. This is going back already 40 years ago. Yeah, 35 years ago. They have safes in their houses, and they're ready to pack themselves. They, in the middle of the night, they're ready to go. Because they know that the Goyim in Europe really hate the Jews. There's no, there they never tried to hide it. When I was there, there was an election going on. There was big billboards that basically the platform that certain politicians were running on is that, you know, sort of let's, you know, they use nice terms, but basically let's get rid of the Jews. They might have said Jew, they might have said something else, minorities, but everybody knew what it meant. And everybody understood that this is, you know, this is not a country that we feel safe in. We're here because we're here and we have business here. We have our houses here, but it's not a place that we can assume that is going to be safe forever. And America, we always felt that it is safe. You walk around the street with a yarmulke and your tzitzis out and everything is good. Why would we think that we'd have to put a baseball cap on our heads when we're taking a train or we're walking in the street? But now all of a sudden, like it's, you know, you're almost crazy if you don't. So things turn around very quickly, things change, and what's true today or what was true yesterday is not necessarily going to be true tomorrow. And this is not to frighten anybody. You know, I think we all are frightened without this, but it's just something to put our bitachon in perspective. What do we rely on and what we should not rely on? The only thing that we should focus on and more intently than we ever were able to is the Rabbeinu Shem. When we daven, we have to daven that the Rabbeinu Shem should protect us and continue to give us the shmira that is almost unnatural at this point, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still is keeping things relatively safe, at least outside of the campuses. But that could change overnight, Rachman al-Atzlan. And to just not rely on America. Don't be so comfortable here. Don't think, I'm going to go to the baseball game, I'm going to go to the basketball game, I'm going to, you know, you could do whatever you want, but you have to be very concerned that it's, and aware that it's not my country so much anymore. I'm a citizen, but I'm not relying on it. I'm not taking anything for granted. The only thing that I rely on is the Rabbeinu Shem. It's tefillah b'kavana. I'm davening to the Rabbeinu Shem with kavana, meaning that you're my plan A, you're my plan. I don't believe in anything anymore. All the myths have been shattered about my safety, my security in Eretz Yisrael also. The myths of Eretz Yisrael living is also shattered. They always felt in Eretz Yisrael that they were safe and secure. They had Tzal. They had, you know, this $1 billion security gate around Gaza. And there was all these protections. And they saw that it's all, you know, in Hashem lo yishmer, the Rabbeinu Shem is not watching the city, it's all garnished, it's nothing. Nothing. They just took a bulldozer. They went right through the gate. And they were hang gliding over the. It was obviously there was a plan. There was hashgacha involved. We don't know why. The Rabbi Yishalom allowed this to happen, but they're very in Eretz Yisrael. No matter who you are, you don't look anymore the same at the government. You don't have that same smug confidence that, you know, we're high-tech and this and that baloney. They see that it's all, they are so vulnerable there, and we're so vulnerable here. And they're vulnerable in Europe, and they're vulnerable in every country in the world, in Russia, in Ukraine. So there's nowhere to hide. But the only thing that we can do is run into the embracing arms of the Rabbi Yishalom and just where we always should have been. But we allowed other things to allow us to assume safety when it really wasn't so safe, maybe. But we had this myth that it was. But now we come back to the Rabbi Yishalom and we davened him with kavan and we say to him with kavan and we cry to him and we just we understand that we're at his mercy and that we have to find chen in his eyes, and hopefully that will expedite the geula b'meir b'yameinu.